Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 14 of season 5. This one is called Conundrum. Directed by Les Landau, teleplay goes to Barry Schnolnick. I think that's how you pronounce it. Story credit goes to Paul Schiffer. Aired back on February 17th, 1992. In this one, the entire crew suffers complete memory loss after an unknown alien ship scans the Enterprise. Clay is here to talk about this one. Conundrum, right after this.
What happened? Of you are.
How do I? I don't even remember who I am.
So there's a concept within TV episodes that I think is fairly true. I don't know if it's like a theory or anything. It's not exactly jumping the shark. It's probably the opposite of jumping the shark. It's where there's a certain point in a show's...
Getting eaten by the shark?
Not making the jump. There's a certain point in a show's run where episodes start coming out that rely on the meta of the show, sort of knowing... The audience that you've built is familiar enough with the show that you can sort of invert what goes on with the cast, or with the characters, and it makes sense just because of how familiar you are with the cast. Conundrum is the first episode of TNG, I think, that does this. If you were to never have seen an episode of TNG before, this is sort of a bewildering episode as to what's going on.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I'm trying to think. You know, I actually don't know, because I feel like I think you're right. That is definitely a trend among television shows, and even doing it this way is a trend. When you've got shows that have very close knit casts, like there's an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer that basically is the exact same episode as this.
Sure,
that is, you know, it's a lot of fun, and I think that plays a lot more on what you do or what you do know about the characters. This one, I don't know. It's tough because...
Sorry to interrupt. I think that there's one sort of... one issue I have with this episode, which I love this episode. I've mentioned before how much I love Conundrum. I think it's sort of an underrated, great episode. The problem I have with it is that I wish they hadn't abandoned the characters switching roles so quickly.
Yes. See, that's what I was going to say, because I actually think they do less character stuff than you might think. I don't think it's actually as hard to jump onto this one as it might be for some other episodes that do the same thing, because you've got basically everything that they sort of invert or whatever or play on is stuff that you get from the episode itself.
Yep.
So you've got, you've got the beginning where you've got Riker and Ro Dameron. Is that her name?
Ro Laren.
Close enough. arguing with each other and blah, 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 blah. And so they've, you know, got a very tense relationship. And then you've got a bridge scene where you see where everybody's positioned. So you know that obviously Picard runs the ship and Worf is the, you know, the stance behind his head. And that's his position, right?
Right. He's the
lieutenant commander who stands behind the captain's head.
Lieutenant commander, upper deck. Yeah. That's...
Yeah. You got your Data scene where he's a robot. And so the really interesting thing here for me is that Troy is more interesting in this episode when she's got her mind wiped than she's been in practically any other episode she's been in.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good story for her. I think they use her effectively.
Yeah, yeah. And I think most of the stuff that they play with is stuff that you get from the episode itself. I think it would be different if – or I should say I think one of the reasons that is because – and this is something I was trying to shut off in my brain as I was watching it because it was just making the watching that much more complicated for me – was the writer's decision to have them know, like, what memories got wiped.
Yeah.
So, like, they don't know who they are, but they understand what a starship is, but they don't really understand, you know, anything else about their surroundings, but they also know how to operate the ship. It's kind of a weird thing where it's like, I guess it's a really hard line to draw if you're writing this episode.
Yeah.
Because they all actually have jobs to do, otherwise everyone dies.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean... That's a tough line to draw. I wouldn't say it's problematic enough where it detracts. It's just something you kind of notice and then you're like, whatever. I think in a worse episode, you'd probably be like making a bigger deal out of it, which I think would be fair to do.
Yeah.
The one thing I think that it really sticks out as a weird writing issue is why didn't they just make McDuff the captain to avoid any potential... we're not going to be doing that action. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know, if he knows what's going on the whole time, he could have just positioned himself that way.
Yeah. So they can't
at least until they figure out who everybody is, which is pretty quick.
Well, but he's still inserted as first officer.
Oh.
You know what I mean? If he had just called himself Captain McDuff and Picard was the first officer, you could still do the episode, but they'd have to mutiny against what they would be perceiving to be the captain instead of Picard mm-hmm. coming to that decision on his own.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, they just made it more difficult for themselves by not giving him ultimate authority in what he would be doing. Mm. I think I agree with what you're saying. The show is not incomprehensible if you've never seen it before. Especially,
it would be a bad one to start with, but, you know.
Right, you'd figure it out. I mean, the camera does everything it can to hint in the cold open that McDuff is a new character on the bridge that you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
You know, it lingers on him as he's sort of standing around. I will say that this was my favorite cold open the show has ever done, or the teaser intro. I think they do a really effective job of not immediately explaining to the audience what has happened to them.
Right. I can't remember. Does the cold open end after they get their minds wiped, right?
Yes. They do the thing where Picard stands up and everyone's sort of looking like peculiar. Geordi says, what the hell? And they mention that they don't know anybody and they don't know who they themselves are. And then it kind of ends with everybody looking at each other.
Right.
I think it's a really effective opening. I think this go ahead.
I was just going to say, and it does have my favorite scene, one of my favorite scenes that I've seen in the show so far that I was going to, that I almost mentioned in the last episode that we did, where the ship shows up and Picard's like, I don't know, let's just see what's going on. And then Worf is like, well, the disruptors are blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and then Picard literally goes, raise the shields, I guess.
Yeah, he gives a hands to the sky shrug, yeah. And is like, raise the shields, I suppose. Yeah, he tried. You know, he was trying to be diplomatic, and this little annoying ship just kind of came out of nowhere. Conundrum: they get their minds wiped. The crew gets to change their roles. We talked about. We both thought it went on a little bit too short. I would agree with that. I love the fact that this episode is familiar enough with the characters where the characters, once they get their minds wiped, they kind of step into more appropriate roles, if not appropriate, more obvious roles, where Worf is just like, I'm the captain. I'm going to be captain. I'm sitting in the chair.
Right.
Picard sits in the back in the sort of science station and is trying to figure out the problem. Riker just tries to nail every bit of pussy that he can that he's unfamiliar with.
Well, technically, that's not true. Technically, he's just, you know, doing whatever, and then Ro Dameron is the one that throws down.
Yeah, it's funny. Tana on Twitter sort of acted incredulous to this. I think this storyline makes perfect sense. It takes up a little bit too much of the episode, but mm-hmm. I think it makes perfect sense in terms of character for those two, especially the way it ends, where she's in control of the situation.
Right. I honestly can't speak to it that much because I believe this is the first episode I've seen with her in it.
With Ro, yeah.
So I'm not totally familiar with her character. I don't know. Seems like kind of a cheap ripoff of Tasha to me. That's, you know.
Oh, she's a little bit edgier, I think. I like the Ro character.
She's pretty good. I like her.
She is totally unique to the cast. And I think this is her third episode that she's been in. But yeah, you don't get a I guess it's like you're saying, you do get a glimpse of her character in the opening scene with Riker, where they're arguing about her chain of command problems. She never follows chain of command. But I think that story works because I can understand there being some kind of like sexual tension between these two because they're very similar characters to each other in a lot of ways. They're both sort of headstrong.
And you also get, I mean, you know, imagine that you've got. You've just had your mind wiped, but they still have these lingering
recognition of each other.
Recognitions of things and places and other people. So clearly there's going to be some sort of like, you know, hair standing up energy between the two of them. Yep. Whether or not they realize that's negative or whether or not they realize it's positive is completely subjective.
They have that scene where they're like, maybe we're lovers, and Riker's like, maybe we hate each other's guts. You know,
yeah,
and
it's exactly.
Just like you can't tell because you feel a familiarity, but you can't tell why you feel so strongly about it.
Right.
I mean, I liked it. I think that the philosophical aspect of what that is sort of saying is really interesting. If you lose your memory, right? And on a, like a purely science level, your memories are sort of like the physical structure of you. You know, there's like brain cells and things like that that are sort of stuck with these memories. And removing them, what does that mean towards your personality? You know what I mean? If you lose track of who you are, would you maintain the same personality? Which is what this episode seems to claim happens. I think that's the way it has to work for the episode, but it's just kind of an interesting take on what happens if you lose memory of yourself.
Yeah, well, I think that's something in that Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode I mentioned, that's something they do a little bit more where they completely lose all recognition of who they are or what they do. So, like, Buffy doesn't know she's a vampire slayer. They don't know anything about any of that stuff. They don't know who they are at all. So it allows the interactions to be a lot more, you know, they're kind of piecing it together as they go.
Yep.
But here I think you do have that thing where you can't really get into that as much because they have to have some sort of recognition, otherwise the ship explodes.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it really depends on how much you're going to lean into it. I do think – I don't know how I feel about Data being affected by it.
Would you have preferred him to be shut down somehow, or would?
Yeah,
you?
I think I would.
I think I was the same too. I didn't remember what happened to him, and I thought that when he repeats himself, I was like, oh, this must be an episode where he malfunctions or something.
Yeah, it just felt really weird for him to go from, like, I guess it's getting into a different concept of memory and stuff. Like, how do you? So where everybody else had lingering recognitions of stuff, he just thought he was a bartender?
Yeah, just because he was there, which out of the personality of Data seems the least likely option for him. You know,
yeah.
Do you think, does it make sense for the character of Data, who's innately logical, to be like, well, I'm standing here, I must be a bartender?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, once they find the crew list and stuff, he's right back to doing his old job.
Right.
So it's like, well, does he have the same sort of innate understanding of his surroundings that everybody else does? Or, you know, or have they, like, how does the mind wipe work for an android?
Right.
I mean, you know, thinking about this stuff is going to make you go cross-eyed. But it's just an interesting thing. I think, yeah, I think if it were me, I would, because he doesn't really do much in the episode anyway, I would have just taken him out.
Yeah, yeah. He's not really.
Or I would have made him way different.
Yes, or the.
Or here you go. What about his memory gets erased, but because of something that short circuits in his brain, he actually has emotions for the episode?
Oh yeah, there you go. And he just runs around screaming because he's terrified. I would have done it with that, or I think I'd prefer the option of he's fundamentally super different. Like if his programming of his, what he is removed, he becomes much more machine like, maybe. Like sort of just like roaming around, like trying to do whatever, you know, a little robot would do. But
Make him like the hyper robot version of Data. So like anytime anybody says something, he just reads the Wikipedia article about it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like his sort of dealing with humans has been him operating on a slower level because he has to deal with that. And he kind of abandons that if he's just sort of down to like his nuts and bolts.
This is completely sort of a random tangent still within the episode, but I'd like to point out something that drives me insane. It's a super tiny little thing, but they do it in all sorts of different shows and movies where characters move really fast. That there's a scene where Data is punching up on the computer, and he's going, you know, crazy super fast because he's got robot fingers and whatever. And the computer is keeping up with him.
Yep.
I hate that so much because I feel like the computers and technology work at a certain speed. And it doesn't matter if you can move faster than you normally do. That's not going to increase the speed of whatever you're using.
Right.
So, like, for instance, in, was it X-Men, Days of Futures Past, the Quicksilver stuff?
Mm-hmm.
There's a shot where Quicksilver is playing Pong, and Pong is moving super, super fast.
Yep.
It's like, all right, okay, maybe if you went in there and you fixed the machine or something. But if anything, video games would be the last thing that guy would want to do.
Right.
Because
it takes forever.
Yeah, and later on he's listening to headphones as he's doing his super speed thing.
Yep.
And in reality, he would make it through about a second and a half of whatever Chicago song he's listening to.
Right, yeah. He would just hear one like hi-hat hit. Yeah, exactly. Like, yes, that is perfect.
But that, I don't know why, but that's a little, you know, stupid nerdy pet peeve of mine that always stands out.
Yeah, you'd cuz so, yeah, I guess to tie in, like, what's more powerful, the ship computer or Data? What's a better computer?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, the thing I was thinking is, like, okay, well, you know, maybe it does have the capacity to move that fast, just nobody uses it that fast. I don't know. But, I don't know what the answer is there.
Yeah, Data always asks the computer for information. So it seems to know more than him. I don't know if it processes faster. He seems to have to use it to come to calculations. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that says about it, but maybe Data's just a they've never really drawn the line about what the distinction would be there, which is interesting. And also the computer seems, every holodeck episode we're reminded that the computer can create life. So then there's that as well. Which is unfortunate for that.
This is also kind of off topic, but do you know if have they mentioned whether or not the new Star Trek show is going to be in the Prime timeline?
They have not. They're working on concept still.
Because I hope if it is that they use Brent Spiner as the voice for the computer, because I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, they have the history of the Soongs throughout history have been a thing where Brent Spiner plays various Soong family members.
That's true.
So they could easily bring that back up. And I don't think Majel Barrett is still around to perform her usual duty of being the computer.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's a conundrum. Anyway, so let's see here. I do think, just to finish the Riker thing, I think the story goes on a little bit. I enjoy the ending scene with it. I enjoy the middle. The Troy scene where she shows him the book that she gave him feels a little bit excessive. I don't think he needed that one.
Well, I don't know, because, I mean, yeah, I think you needed something a little bit more concrete because you need Riker to understand very quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so having Troy come in and be like, yeah, I also have these special powers that allow me to, read people's emotions.
Yeah.
And I think we've boned.
Just, I get a,
for
I get
him
a feeling.
For him not to be like, lady, I hear that all the time. You know, I don't know.
Take a number. Take a number, sweetheart. I think it's weird that I don't know if it's weird. It's a decision that had to be made that Riker was going to get the strong story thread. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't mind. I think the story works well, and I like the Riker character. So any Riker storyline, I'm usually down for. It maybe takes up a little bit too much time. especially at the expense of... I really love the interaction here between the Enterprise and the Lysian Empire, or whatever they are, which I don't think we've ever seen before.
That you mean the interaction where they just start blowing the shit out of all their vehicles?
And then they're trying, the Lysian...
And at the end, they're like, we apologize for killing so many of their people.
They understood. They were totally down with it.
It's not the first time it's happened, guys.
I think it's unique that I don't think we've ever seen a sort of... The general idea is always that, for whatever reason, ships that they encounter are always an equal match to the Enterprise, mm-hmm. even though the Enterprise is supposed to be the flagship and all that stuff. It's nice to see them run into a group of people who are just behind them in technology. Mm. They're sort of similar, but they're just sort of older. And I love the design of the Lysian Central Command. I think it's kind of a cool-looking little space station. Mm. What'd you think of that whole ending scene here? What they're trying to do is the aliens that have taken over the ship, or not taken over, but mind wiped, are nemesis of the Lysians, and they're going to use the Enterprise, which is overpowered, to just sort of go in and end the war that's been going on between the two species. And I really enjoyed that storyline. So what'd you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I thought the wrap-up was a little bit convenient, where they just blast the dude in the chest, and they're like, oh, yeah, alien.
Yep, inside alien, outside human.
I mean, I don't know how else you get out of that, but, it seemed a little quick. But I like the idea. I mean, that's a pretty, pretty interesting idea. I guess that's one reason why that dude couldn't have been captain, because you would assume that he doesn't know all the specs of the ship, so he would need other people to do dirty work for him.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Which is also, as I've said before, kind of a long way to go for a ham sandwich, that you have to wipe the mind of the entire crew and then convince them to shoot your enemies.
Yes. Yeah.
But no, it's a cool idea. I like it.
It's very similar to the game episode that I talked about with Sean. It feels the plan is almost so big in scope that you're like, oh, they should have just picked a smaller scale to make things like easier on themselves. Where the game, they're like, we're going to spread this game throughout the Federation, as opposed to just a con man trying to take over a ship, which would have made maybe more sense being on a smaller level.
And how did they really know that Michael Douglas was going to jump off that exact point of that exact building to land on that giant inflatable thing?
It was a well-designed game. You pay a lot of money to get everything, all of your ducks in a row. The Yelp reviews would not be positive if it wasn't.
Great movie.
I do like the game. It's one of those 90s classics. I like it. I like the conundrum ending. I think mostly because it totally makes sense within the Picard character, who is, we're being told, down to his base personality. Mm-hmm. Like, his decision here makes a lot of sense for Picard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that he doesn't automatically assume he's in command of the ship.
And that he doesn't just blindly follow orders. Mm-hmm. You know, he has sort of a... It's not a difficult thing to make. You know, Riker's like, how can the mortal enemy of the Federation be 100 years behind us in weapons technology?
Right.
And I just like that story breakdown, the logic of the war doesn't really make logical sense to them as they're going through and coming around with a solution I enjoy.
Yeah. I did think it was kind of interesting once they put Picard back in command when they're still... mind wiped.
Yep.
That he seemed to be a little bit hesitant or something in that first scene where everyone's kind of like giving him opinions on what to do.
Yep.
It was interesting that he kind of came off as though he was a little bit more reserved in what his actions were going to be.
Yeah. Yep.
Whereas everybody else seemed to be fairly confident in what they were doing, regardless.
Especially Worf. Yeah, it's I like Worf sitting in the ready room just demanding that the weapon systems be there. And everyone else is kind of like rolling their eyes at his suggestions, which is a nice change of pace. Yeah, it's... I guess I'm realizing, too, that because McDuff takes the number one officer, they had to push Data out a mm-hmm. little bit, which it doesn't really come into play because he comes back to the bridge at a certain point anyway. So that's a weird thing. Yeah, I really like this. Sorry, you want to say something?
I would like to point out that nobody. I don't think the guy who played McDuff got much time on the bridge before they started shooting, because that guy does not know how to sit in those chairs.
No, he's...
You've got Picard sitting like the captain, and then Riker next to him with like his foot up and, you know,
reclining,
that, like kind of lean or whatever.
Yep.
And then McDuff is sitting there like a little kid in like kindergarten.
He has his hands folded in front. Yeah. Like he's sitting with his legs together and his hands folded on his lap. He looks very, very uncomfortable. Although he is on the verge of ending a decade-long war for his people, so I suppose he should be happy about that.
I guess.
He's, this is like my, I'm starting to understand that there's two really great Star Trek episodes, or at least for TNG for me. There are really great character shows, and then there are really great concept episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really love the concept of this one. I think it's such a fun episode to kind of watch. I really get a kick out of, for whatever reason, when they find the crew manifests and they go through the roles. I get a kick out of that for some reason.
I was thinking it would have been, obviously they got a lot of stuff they got to do or whatever, but I was thinking it would have been more fun if they didn't have the pictures to go along with the names. And
yeah, right.
You know, so that way, people could be like, oh, well, I feel like I know my way around the weapon system, so I must be Lieutenant Worf.
I feel very French. I must be Jean-Luc Picard. Like, I'm a master of French cooking. Yeah,
you know, I don't know, something like that where there's a little bit more for them to go before they figure out what they can do, et cetera, but...
I think it just ties into our... I would have kept the mystery of the roles going for longer.
Yes, yeah.
And I could have... You could have had the crew manifest scene at the end before they sort of fix themselves medically. They unlock that, and they're like, oh, that's funny. Like, no one was the role that they thought they were, and we still got the job done, you know, which would have been kind of an interesting take on it.
Yeah, they do a little bit where they have Picard working the control panel up back when Worf is the captain and stuff. I thought that stuff was nice. All the Worf and Picard stuff I liked a lot.
Right. And
I do want to say, though, that I think that opening scene was kind of bullshit. Because
the teaser?
The idea that Troy beats Data in chess
is absurd.
Is like preposterous. Not to mention the fact that after she says, Data, chess isn't just about computations. It's about instinct and all the things that you don't have. Now, go make me a drink, which arguably takes more intuition than playing chess does.
It's also, she claims it's intuition where he has calculated that he's going to lose in 7 moves. She doesn't even beat him. They just kind of stalemate it because he's like, he for some reason, he sees no way out of what's going to happen in 7 moves, which I thought was fascinating. I think it's the wrong game. You know, you can have that scene, but you can't play chess in that scene. You have to have something where Troy would obviously have an upper hand on him.
Mm-hmm.
Chess is
like
a tough one.
Like Monopoly or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she's like, trade me the orange, and Data does, and she's like, you fucking idiot.
They should have been playing the game of life.
Yeah.
Because then Data would go down the very documentedly proven... track to win the game of life, and then Troy's like, hey man, I didn't get married, and I made way more money than you did, and I died a millionaire.
Didn't go to college. I took the short path, and I came out ahead with no kids and no retirement loans to pay off. Oh man, the game of life. Is the game of life a game? That's the question, I suppose.
Is the game of life the game of the movie?
It certainly would have made the Star Trek game episode better anyway.
Can we take a whole podcast just to talk about the movie The Game?
We should. I'll put a poll on this episode. Should we do a game episode? Which so many Michael Douglas movies that are so many thriller. You know, I always laugh about the sadness I feel. I don't really feel sad, but the my disappointment with the way that movies have now, which is you either have blockbusters or you have sub-million-dollar indie films.
Right, right.
There's no room left in our media culture for the $10 million thriller, which is like one of my favorite genres
sort of.
Well, that's one of the things Bernie Sanders is going to change. He's going to bring the middle class back to America and back to the movie industry.
He's going to recreate the role that Michael Douglas held for 15 years.
Oh, God. Bernie Sanders as the king of the erotic thriller.
We watch Fatal Attraction a lot. It's
so good.
It's just something you can have on in the background. He's the king of just that role of just the kind of slimy but decent guy who gets into a situation that he just has to get out of.
Makes a mistake that most people can be like, yeah, I might make that mistake.
Right. And has it just come hellfire back at him, which is a lot of fun.
Let's just do. Can we just do a Michael? Let's stop this and do Michael Douglas podcast.
I'll need to get some artwork going here. I need to get the Michael Douglas thumbnails. It would be. I can't imagine that. I have to.
It's mostly the same face, so you could really pick it from any poster. It's pretty much the same.
Same hair. Same sort of mid-length, sort of combed back. It gets a. Maybe he occasionally gets something like in his eyes and he has to brush it out and all that stuff.
That wide-eyed stare of like, oh, this just got way over my head.
Him talking to his lawyer on a phone is always a staple of whatever goes on, so we'd have to have that. Anyway, I think we're done talking about Conundrum, obviously. So we're going to take a break. Me and Clay are going to come back and give our final thoughts and feelings about Conundrum.
Phaser banks ready. Loading torpedoes.
What are the defensive capabilities of the Central Command?
Armaments consist of 4 laser cannons and 39 cobalt fusion warheads with magnetic propulsion. Defensive shield output is 4.3 kilojoules.
One photon torpedo ought to do it.
Data, how many people on that station?
15,311. We're within range, Captain.
Stand by.
Waiting on your orders, sir.
Captain, this isn't right.
The rest of our forces are depending on us.
How can our mortal enemy be over 100 years behind us in weapons technology?
Their battleships may be on their way right now. We must attack!
I do not fire on defenseless people.
Mr. Worf, open a channel to the Lycians.
Delay that order! There's something wrong with the captain. I'm taking command of this vessel. Fire all weapons!
Conundrum. We're here to give our final thoughts. I'm going to go first, Clay. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt here. I love this episode. I think it has a couple problems, but I really always enjoy watching it. I think it's kind of, I mentioned it before, it's kind of an underrated, great episode to me. Maybe that's overstating it, but I really, really like it. I love the concept. I love how it all pans out. I'd improve it by keeping the character confusion going for a little longer than the show does. But other than that, this is one of my favorites of season 5 and probably the show in general. Now that I'm starting to list them, it's tough to say where it would fall. It's not a top 5. It's maybe a top 7 or 10, somewhere in that range. But anyway,
I've learned from another podcast that have a top 5 and then just say for anything that doesn't make it into that top 5, not top 5, but probably top 10. So then your top 10 is just like 70 other episodes.
Well, that's true. The thing is, when you have a top 5, you quickly realize how few 5 is.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, geez, like, I really love this, but it definitely wouldn't fit in the top 5. So it's up there somewhere. But anyway, I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. I really enjoy this one. Clay, what'd you think? You sound probably a little bit more hesitant than me.
No, I think I enjoyed it more talking about it than I did watching it. That's not to say I didn't like it. Because like you, I do really enjoy the high concept ones. And this one is a lot of fun. I wouldn't say it's a 5. I would say 4.
Sure. Anything besides the character confusion you think you'd want to do to improve it in any sort of way, or you thought it was just all fundamentally there?
Yeah, it's all fundamentally there. I think it's well done. I think they don't lay into it as much as they could, and I feel like it's a concept in general that I've seen a lot of times. So
there's nothing new here.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that it would be a little bit more. For instance, after watching Hero Worship, I woke myself up again.
Sure.
And I read the log line for Conundrum, and it said something about the crew loses their memory in the middle of some war they're fighting or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting.
Yep.
So I was expecting it to be more like in the middle of a battle, they lose their memories. And so the stakes are a lot higher.
Yep.
Like with this one, if they decide, like there could have been an alternate version of this where they just decide to go home. You know,
yes.
Like there's nothing that's compelling them to complete their mission. Honestly, if
they're kind of told that they're on radio silence. Like I do think it's maybe a bit of a problem that I don't know if it's a problem, but there's a lot of faith that they believe the orders that they've been given.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing is, and while I find that idea interesting, it's kind of a Dr. Strangelove kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I just find it a little bit hard to believe that they would just blindly be like, oh, even though we don't know what we're doing, we should probably bomb this civilization.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Especially if they are all maintaining the character traits that we are know them to have up to this point.
Yeah.
I feel like someone in there should have been like, hey, guys, maybe this isn't the best thing to do. Like maybe, I don't know, maybe Troy does that instead of just – I feel like Troy could have been a bigger part of this episode.
Yeah.
But this is all completely, you know, peripheral stuff. I think it's good.
Sure. No, I think I agree. I can understand the four. I really enjoy it for whatever reason. It seems it's a kind of a concept episode I really enjoyed. There's no major problem with how it goes down. You know
right.
what I mean? It's like everything. You can nitpick a couple of things, like how we talked about the memory or not follow or just blindly following the order seems a little bit strange, or you know, the selective memory loss that they've encountered, be like, is this a problem? But it all works to a level where I can ignore everything and just kind of be like, oh, good, this is just going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Well, with these episodes in general, this type of episode, you kind of have to make a decision whether or not you're going to really overthink it.
Yep, yep.
Because, I mean, once you do, it's like, well, why don't they do, you know, as we've been doing for the past hour.
But, sure, yeah.
But as if you're just watching it face value and enjoying it, yeah, no, it's really good. It's a good episode.
It's nice. It's been this one for whatever reason reminds me of Cause and Effect, which is coming up shortly too.
Even though it is, oh yeah,
has nothing to do with it, but for some reason, I think it's just the name. Anything with a C kind of.
I think maybe that's what I was expecting. Not obviously the same plot, but something that has the same sort of. If not, it's not a ticking clock, but it's like the stakes are getting higher.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as it goes.
Yeah.
So they're figuring out. They have to put the puzzle together a lot faster than they would. You know, that kind of thing. I was hoping for a little bit more of.
I'll just close with the thought that it's funny that the, because I think the stakes are there narratively. It runs into the problem. You know, that even when they break through the Lysian defense system, they're like, no one's mm-hmm. here. You know, so it's kind of
right.
part of the story that there are no stakes, like they're not constantly in a battle because narratively there's not supposed to be any opposition to them. But I do think it's funny that this is probably the episode where we see the most destruction of ships. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They killed a lot of people in this episode.
Well, they killed, the 51, and then they slip in that those drones are unmanned, so you can feel okay
man.
About just shooting those things,
right?
But that's it anyway. So guys, thank you for listening, and if you enjoyed the content, you're on YouTube, a like and a comment is appreciated, and iTunes a rating and review helps get the show out there. You leave a rating, you leave a review, I'll read the comments on here on the next podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Clay, thanks for coming on.
No problem. I'm really looking forward to when we cover Romancing the Stone.
Yeah, that's I was thinking
actually, that'll be Sean's episode because I don't really care for that movie.
Pussy. I was thinking all of these episodes. In hindsight, I might do this for the finale, just to tip my hand here. The very season finale. I always consider making the podcast thematic to the episode. For this one, I would have had us switch roles. You know, just be like, I'm Clay. I'm going to talk this way about things.
No, it wouldn't have been that. It was that we both have to determine what our role is as we go.
It would just be technical talk. Be like, do I render? Am I rendering the podcast here?
Well, I'm clearly recording on my end, so
we just read our like Facebook bios or whatever. It's like Clay. It's like, oh, that must be me. All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. I'll see you next time.